Wednesday was probably the least like active day we had. We went to Hollywood Studios for the first time and went on Tower of Terror in the morning, and that was so. Let me back up. My mom has a recurring fear and kind of a recurring nightmare of falling down an elevator shaft. Like she's in an elevator, it falls. It seems pretty, you know, it's a reasonable fear. I think a lot of people have that. But I had given her an out for Tower of Terror. I was like, I'm not going to make you go on that. I know that's probably, you know, tough for you. It's not going to be fun. But like, as the trip's gone on, you know, we talked about how she wanted to go on Expedition Everest again, even though it terrified her. And all this stuff that was just super scary to her is now like not that big of a deal. So she was like, I'm going to go on Tower of Terror, you know, and we talked about how the worst case scenario is the nightmares keep happening. And it was kind of one of those things where you just have to kind of let go of all your fears and just say, you know, like everything's going to be fine either way. So she went on that. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. It was amazing. Like, the most enjoyment I think I got out of this trip was watching my, you know, my mom, who has never really gone to any amusement park. She hasn't really gotten to go on vacation very much her entire life. And just to watch her have fun and kind of become a little kid again was really good. And so, Tower of Terror was really good for that. After Tower, we went on Rock and Roller Coaster.
So your mom had a problem with Expedition. Then your mom was scared of Tower, so scared of Rock and Roller as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was like, so we didn't lie necessarily, but we didn't tell her it went upside down, because if we had said there were loops, she would not have gone on it. So we just kind of let that be a thing. She never asked either of us bluntly, does this go upside down? So,
wow, lies of omission.
I maintain that it was not a lie necessarily, but either way. So we went on it, and it was me and this other girl, and then Claire and my mom, and Steven Tyler counts down. We start going, we're upside down. And I hear Claire yell, we're upside down. And I just hear my mom go, you lied to me. You lied. And it was hilarious.
So, but, so regardless of whether or not you think it was a lie, clearly your mom feels differently.
She does not. Yeah, she does not share my my opinion that a lie of omission is not a real lie.
But here's the big question, though. When she got done with it, was she still upset that she had gone on a loop?
That is the one that she had the least amount of fun on, and that she said she would not go on again.
Okay, so loops out of it for her.
I think it was more the just not expecting it that really got her.
So the moral of the story is set expectations correctly and just convince somebody that the loop, they will be able to stand it rather than telling lies of omission.
Yes.
And trying to convince them there's no loop.
A lie of omission is a lie. But no, I did not try to convince her that there was no loop. I just didn't tell her there was one. And a corkscrew that's much slower than I remembered. That corkscrew is a lot more just lazy than I thought it was, than I remembered it being. Like, the loops are kind of, I think you do two loops at the beginning, and those are, you know, not that big of a deal. But that corkscrew is much lazier than I remembered it being. And I was like, wow, we are upside down for a really long time on this thing.
Yeah, if honestly, with the loops, I think if you didn't tell somebody it was a loop, and if they've never been on a roller coaster with a loop, they would have no clue what that was, because I think people have this impression that when you get on a loop and when you hit the top of it and you're upside down, you're going to know you're upside down, and you really don't.
Yeah, yeah. The centripetal force really, really helps you to not be able to tell. You know, you're moving, like, okay, this is not a science podcast, but yeah, you can't tell. You can't tell that you're upside down, but that corkscrew was pretty lazy.
That corkscrew, you can tell a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So you did Rock and Roller. You now scared your mother away from that. but other than that, you've been doing pretty good.
Right,
so
yeah, she did great. We ate lunch at, you know, like a little quick service place right outside of Rock and Roller Coaster. We got burgers. It wasn't, you know, wasn't anything terribly special.
You didn't go get a Toluca turkey leg?
No, I didn't get any turkey legs this time.
Toluca was right there.
Yeah, it was actually closed at that point. What? I don't know why. It was closed.
Was it too early or something?
Maybe. Well, no. I mean, it was like 12:30 or 1.
That makes no sense.
It was strange that it was closed, but it was open the next time we were there. Like on, so we were back there on Friday, and it was open. So I think maybe they were understaffed or something, and it just never opened that day. I don't know.
Huh. Weird things. But you then had a not so memorable burger.
Yep. Then we went and did Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, which it was my mom's first time, so we had to go do it.
So I don't know that we discussed that on the podcast. I feel like we have.
I think so. That neither of us are super.
Yes. But we both agreed, I think. Yeah, because it was when we were talking about the extra gate or the Star Wars, doing Star Wars on one side. And I think we both agreed, though, that we're kind of spoiled because we've been so many times that it's just not interesting to us because we already know what happens with the show. So for your mom, again, you're getting to see this again through somebody's first time goggles.
Yep.
What was it like for her?
It was really great. The best part was, spoiler horn, spoiler alert, blah, 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 whatever. If you haven't seen Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, skip ahead 2 minutes. There is a guy at the beginning of the show when they are picking people from the audience that is walking, at least this time he was walking along the back like he was late. And the lady down on the floor calls that guy down. She's like, and you, sir, how about you in the back? And he's like, I was late. Don't, you know, and it turns out at the end that he's a plant and that he's actually like a stunt guy. And it was just really funny to watch, like, because he does everything that the real audience members do. And it was really funny. Like, I knew that was happening, but it was really funny to watch my mom, like, slowly realize that this dude was...
Something's not quite right here, because he just got hit, and he's not threatening to sue the company.
Right. He got punched in the face and did, like, a backflip almost, and now he's, like, laying dead on the ground. And it was funny to, like, watch her start to crack up when she realized that everything was not as it seemed. And so... That was good. That was worth the trip because, that's a feeling that you get one time.
Yes, because now the next time she goes, she's going to be just as jaded as the rest of us and be like, oh, yeah, I know exactly how this is going to play out.
Right. And that show has not changed. I went for the first time 7 years ago. Show has not changed in 7 years. It's exactly the same. Down to the director's dialogue and everything. I mean, it's exactly the same show.
And that's the thing. It's very tight to the script.
Yes,
there's not a lot of, and maybe there are at times, but the few times that I've been, it's always been, like you said, pretty much dead on from show to show.
Yep. And that, I mean, it's good, I guess, because they've got a winning formula, and their cast members that do it are really good at it, and they do a consistently good show every time. But it is the rewatch value for someone who is, I'd say, over the age of 10, is probably not very high.
I agree with that. So, but your mom got to see it for the first time, and
she did.
And there's something to be said for taking someone for their first time, because it just gives you a. It gives you that opportunity as somebody who's jaded, as someone who's seen that show before, to kind of, like you said, to enjoy it again, because you get to experience it. You get to experience it kind of through her, I guess.
Right. I got a feeling that, I didn't get the first time because I knew it was coming. And so I got a little, giddy because I got to look over and see her experience what I had experienced, 7 years ago. So that was fun for sure. So after Indiana Jones, we were pretty much done at Hollywood Studios, and we went over to Epcot because we had dinner reservations. I guess it was like 4 when we got done at Indiana Jones. So we went over to Epcot. We had dinner reservations in Italy at like 7. So we went over.
So you took the boat?
No. Ugh. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
Why didn't
I felt like a stupid, stupid idiot, Brad? Because I didn't know that there was a boat that took you from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. Because I'm the worst.
I don't think that makes you the worst. But yeah, that's the trick, especially if you're going to be anywhere on the World Showcase, because that boat drops you right off at international gateway, yeah. which is between France and England.
Yes.
Which, as opposed to the front of the park where Future World is.
Yeah. We actually ended up Friday night changing our dining reservations because we didn't want to walk all the way back over there. But the boat that would have taken us from Hollywood Studios, where we were Friday, to dinner, would have dropped us off maybe two countries away from Japan, which is where our dining reservations were.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did not know. I knew that Friendship Boat took you from Hollywood Studios to the Yacht and Beach Club. I did not realize it then went further
onto Epcot.
To Epcot. I know that now, and that is a really good way to, even if you take a bus, here's a pro tip, even if you take a bus from your hotel to Hollywood Studios, hop on that boat and take it to the World Showcase, and you're at the back of Epcot.
Yes.
You know, you're literally almost completely on the other side of the World Showcase.
Yeah, because you're, what, France, and then... Darn it, man.
I believe
my countries.
It's France, Morocco, yes. and then the American Adventure.
Yeah, and American Adventure is literally the opposite side right. of World Showcase. It's right. directly across from Future World. So, yeah, it's a real quick way to get back there. So, you didn't go eat in Italy, or did you?
We did go eat in Italy.
Okay, you just skipped Tepanito.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So, we went to Tutto Italia, which was really good. Again, just, I love eating in Epcot because, you know, the guy that we were served by was from Italy, and everyone who worked there was from Italy, and they're just so knowledgeable about the food and the wine. My wife ordered a sangria, and the dude was like, he wasn't mad, but he was like, oh, you can't, sangria is Mexican, can I suggest an Italian wine? And he suggested a nice fruity Italian wine that's like her favorite wine now. So the guy was really, he was cool, he suggested it. She was kind of like, well, maybe not. And he said, if you don't like it, I'll take it off the bill. And so she was like, okay. And so she got it, drank it, super good. It was a nice alternative to sangria, but it was just a red wine.
So it was basically the flavor that she was looking for, or in the realm of the flavor that she was looking for, but something Italian rather than just getting the Disney sangria.
Yeah.
Which that's and you know, and that's the thing even about Canada.
Le Cellier?
There you go. Thank you. That totally just went right out of my mind.
Come on,
anyway,
bro.
that's the thing about Le Cellier as well. And again, this is any eating establishment, and pretty much all of the shops and everything else within the World Showcase are going to be primarily staffed by people that come from that country, and they actually enjoy talking about their country.
Right.
They're just looking for that opportunity.
They have national pride, which is great. Like, most of the people who we talked to came to America specifically to work in the World Showcase at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. Well, Disney actually has a, you know, so we've talked about the college program before. Disney has an international program as well for international students to come in, and primarily the places where they're going to put them is in the World Showcase in their countries.
Hmm. I didn't
know
that.
So yeah, so you'll see a lot of, you know, younger college age kids who will be working in those areas, and that's the reason why. And yeah, they really are from that country, and like I said, a lot of them genuinely enjoy getting to tell people about where they're from.
Yeah. Well, and come to think of it, on my honeymoon I had a guy from Mexico who was working the check-in desk at Coronado Springs. So
yeah.
I guess they put him, if they have a resort that's themed to the country they're from, they can put them there too.
Yeah, or they can, you know, stick them wherever. Because
yeah.
I did know some internationals that worked outside of the World Showcase. I just know that primarily that's where a lot of them ended up. But anyway, that all to say, when you go to the World Showcase, whether it's to dine or just to shop or whatever, you know, if you take a moment and talk with cast members, you can learn some really interesting stuff about that country, and you know, not just the Disney-fied version of the country that you're seeing. These
right.
are people who can legitimately tell you about that country.
Right.
But you had really good food there. Did you have, because your wife didn't like dessert at Le Cellier?
No, yeah. Yeah, she got that.
That s'more thing, right?
Yeah, the campfire mousse.
Right. Did she at least have a better experience here?
We actually did not get dessert at Tutto Italia. We walked over to France and went to an ice cream shop in France and got French ice cream, and it was so good.
Mm.
She got a brioche. So I got a scoop. My mom got a scoop. Mine was the special of the day, which was, it was like a caramel ice cream with like fried apple bits in it. Oh, it was so good, man.
Wow.
So good. But Claire got a brioche roll that they hollow out, put a scoop of ice cream in, put the top back on, like, so they cut it in half, kind of hollowed out, put the top back on with the ice cream in it, and put it in like a little panini press. So the roll is really hot, but the ice cream on the inside is cold. And so you get like this hot ice cream sandwich.
That sounds extremely odd.
Oh my gosh, it was so good though. Like, because the brioche is sweet, but it's also, you know, bready, and it gets a golden brown on the outside. And oh my gosh. And you can tell them whatever kind of ice cream you want, they'll put in there. But it's like it's a hot ice cream sandwich.
So I need to add to my list of things to try the brioche bun ice cream sandwiches in France.
Yes, absolutely. Nice. That is a huge recommendation.
Okay, I'm going to hit that up next time. So you guys finished dinner. You went and had your dessert.
And that kind of wrapped up Wednesday. Like I said, it was the least active kind of day. The one thing I did realize when we got back to our hotel that night was the rapid fill mugs don't always work as well as I think Disney would like them to.
So what does not always work mean? Does that mean you can't get a drink?
Well, so you put your mug, like the mugs now, the resort mugs have little chips in them that are active for the length of your stay. And after that, they will no longer work the machine. So at least the machines in my resort, one of them had an issue where the screen was messed up and you couldn't really tell what it said. So I could never tell if I was doing it right. But sometimes I would put my mug down on the little tray and hit the drink button. Nothing. I pretty much did my best to get that thing centered as well as I could. And I'd like pick it up and I'd put it back down and nothing. And sometimes it worked right away. Sometimes it took 5 seconds to work, you know, to like recognize that a cup was there. But it was a lot less like magical than I think Disney would want. And I don't know why. That's such a simple thing, and it doesn't need to be. Like, I know RFID. It doesn't need to be right on it. You know, easy tags at the tollway have RFID on them, and those are 20 feet away.
Yeah, I guess the problem is mixing the fact that you could have maybe multiple cups on there at one time, so you can't read the antenna from too far away. Anyway, not getting into the technical side of it. Is it maybe kind of like, because I remember you saying that with the magic bands, it had to be like dead on.
Yeah, I don't know. See, but with the magic bands, it's on your wrist and it's harder to like, because when you're doing it with the top of your wrist, imagine trying to put the top of your wrist, like a small dot on the top of your wrist onto a small dot on the wall.
Okay.
You know, you can't see the small dots, you know, to line them up when it's on the top of your wrist like that. But that's a cup. That's a round cup on a round platform. You know, it's much easier to say this cup is centered on this little platform.
So rapid fill, not impressive.
Yeah.
And you were dealing with that every day. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it was a little, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, but I don't know. It seemed like a system that wasn't very Disney.